All right, thank you. Good evening and welcome. I'm Sean Brimham, President of the Delaware State Board of Education. I call September 19th regular meeting to order. It is 5 p.m. The meeting is open to the public in person at the Academy of Dover Charter School in Dover, Delaware, and electronically via WebEx. The Delaware State Board of Education published a public meeting notice and meeting information on September 12th on the state public meeting calendar site. Thank you for your patience if we run into any technology issues as we simultaneously conduct this meeting in person and electronically. Today's agenda contains two opportunities for public comment. There is time allotted for regulations and then general public comment near the end of the meeting. Sign-up sheets are available on the table by the door. If you did not previously sign up to provide public comment via email or logged in via the URL, please type in your name, organization, and comment topic into the chat box now. If you're only participating via phone and wish to make verbal public comment, please log in via the meeting URL. As required by statute, this meeting is being recorded, and the recording will be available to the public on our website within 7 business days of this meeting. As a reminder, when voting on items for action, I will ask all those in favor say aye, and we only do a roll call vote if there is a dissent. As a reminder, when speaking or making a motion, please state your name first. Mr. Veal, please do a roll call for Delaware State Board members.
Mr. Brennan?
Present.
Dr. Griffin?
Present.
Mr. Kennan?
Present.
Dr. LaPavia?
Present.
Reverend Powell?
Present.
Mr. Sawney?
Present.
Ms. Stevens?
Present.
Dr. Zabo? Mr. President, you have a floor.
Thank you. I will also note that we have Deputy Attorney General Alex Corbett and State Board Staff Kathleen Smith and Marco Avila participating in today's meeting. Approval of the agenda. The board's agenda was posted on September 12th. If there are no additions or changes to the agenda, is there a motion to approve the agenda for debate today's meeting as presented?
Griffin, I move we approve the agenda for August 15th regular meeting. August 15th, September 19th meeting as presented.
Got it. Thank you. Make a motion by Griffin. Need a second?
Reverend Powell, second.
Powell has second. Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Sorry, Deb.
That's welcome. Okay.
Welcome from Chicago.
Thank you.
Motion carries. Approval of the August 15th regular meeting minutes. Approval of the August 15th regular meeting minutes. The August 15th regular meeting minutes provided to the board for review in advance of this meeting. Are there any, if there are no additions or deletions, is there a motion to approve the August 15th regular meeting minutes as presented?
Mr. Kent, so approved.
Kent's made a motion. I need a second.
What about you, second?
I'll have you a second. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions?
Powell abstained.
Reverend Powell has abstained. Motion carries. Next is presentations. Academy of Dover, this is for information. We would like to thank the Academy of Dover Charter School for hosting this month's board meeting, and I'd like to introduce head of the school, Dr. Michelle Marinucci, to share information about the Academy. Dr. Marinucci, thank you.
Good evening and welcome to my first or second home, depending on the time of year. The Academy of Dover is a place that quickly captures your heart, especially if you're here during the school day. I invite the board members and anyone else in the audience who are interested to come and take a tour of who we are and see what we do. Our students are the foundation of our school. When I came here 6 years ago, the school was in, to be quite honest, a failing school. The closing plan was actually sitting at my desk. And the state board had, for every year prior, had to give special approval for the school to open the following fall. Our staff then, for whatever gave of themselves to remain with the academy, had to actually take their items, all items, home at the end of each school year because they didn't know if the school would reopen. Thankfully, we had a group of very dedicated individuals that did return year after year. When I came, we had about half the students we needed to have to successfully open and run the school. We had probably about half the money we needed to operate fully. We did not have a solid curriculum. Our teachers didn't have manipulatives in their classrooms. In fact, our teachers were bringing their own paper that they bought from home and making copies, sometimes 4 pages to a sheet. When I came here to see the reality of where we were, with a vision of where we could go, and met the students and the staff that had invested and remained, I knew this was a gem. I committed myself to create an amazing team and to build this academy into the school that every other school should aspire to be, where every school wants to and loves to come and learn, where all students achieve to their capability and beyond. And that is where I believe we have come. We're not there all the way academically, but we are absolutely seeing the gains and the moves in place. So I put together a short little slideshow presentation that didn't really give you a whole lot of information. It just was intended to entice you to look at it and think about what it is. So all schools in Delaware are going to teach math. All schools are going to teach reading and ELA. And all schools are going to teach social studies, history, science. Our school goes beyond that. Our school actually has a class called Life. We teach life to our students. There's a motto that I heard a long time ago that has stuck with me since I heard it. If not you, then who? If not now, then when? So instead of saying someone should, our academy decided to be the ones who will. We created a class called Life because so many students walk out of school without the foundational skills of knowing how to budget, knowing how to properly write a resume, how to interview for jobs. And this is not an elective class in our academy. This is an actual full class that all of our students, fifth through eighth graders, take. Our students learn how to plan a trip. Some of our students, and going back to the student side, just to give you a little bit more of the demographics, our school is very typical of the demographics of the districts around us. We have a very high minority population. We're somewhere around 90% African American at this point. We also have a very high low-income population. A lot of our students don't have the two-parent household, and a lot of our parents are struggling with helping their students at home doing homework because they're working that second job or the night shift. So we realize that while our parents may want to teach these skills, they may not have the skills, nor may they have the time. And our goal is that every student leaves ready to walk out and be successful in the real world. Credit companies start coming at you when you're about 18 and first graduating from high school. We want our students to understand what debt really looks like and the impact of interest and the accumulation of that. And the funniest thing is, at the age of 10, they get it if you show it to them. In addition to the class called Life that all of our 5th through 8th grade students take, we also have a small club that looks at the finances. So I operate, since this is a small school, I operate as the head of school. I also operate as the business manager, the HR director, and all the other district office titles. Thankfully, this year we did add a principal, so I get to share some of that with her. But for the past 5 years, it was me. And I did that so that we could pay our staff better, because I'd rather put the money in their pockets and have them happy in return, which thankfully we've had. We are fully staffed. We have remained with a very high employee morale. And one of the things that I love to do is to teach. That's what's in my heart, in my soul, and in my makeup. So as I sit and do the budget for the board, I thought, what better way than to teach students how to do this by having them look at actual reports that I look at? There are certain groups that our students provide funding for. The Prinshaw funds our athletics and our extracurricular music program, because we don't get funds to pay for those things. So we developed a Prinshaw to have that happen. The funds that are received from that go into a local appropriation, and the students actually have monthly meetings where they look at the appropriation reports, they look at the expenditures, and they make real-life decisions on what we need, what we have, on our inventory, and on how we can better market things. The students have created marketing commercials. The students have put it out there and sold things. Percent invested because they see the results. The results come to them in the form of the sound system that we were able to purchase for the academy. The results, and actually, Corey, if you would come over here for a second, Corey was the student that assisted with deciding what we should purchase. Corey did the research, and Corey decided these are the items we should buy to make our school better. Corey did the math. He had the spreadsheet with the Excel formulas, and he is the reason that we have the sound system we have. In addition, Corey is one of our students that heads up the print shop. So our student print shop is something. Our student print shop is something that our students run, and they run it as a business. It started as a club a few years back, and it became so popular that our students actually started it into an actual class, Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones is the teacher of, he's all of our dean of students, so we wear many hats here. But Mr. Jones is the teacher of the fundamentals of business class. The fundamentals of business class, the class where the students actually do the marketing. They create the commercials. They put out the advertisements. They put out the artworks. They take inventory. We, last year, sometimes their print shop space looks kind of like my kids' bedrooms when they were middle schoolers. And so Mr. Jones and I came up with a little mock scenario where the big boss was coming into the print shop to evaluate their working conditions and was looking for specific things: employee morale, the cleanliness, safety, inventory accuracy, and they had 30 minutes. Before the boss showed up, they got the heads-up call that so often happens in the real retail side of things. They got a heads-up call, and I'm going to tell you, it was absolutely amazing to watch the students pull together, decide which one of them was going to be the leader for each of the five areas they were being inspected. And when I walked in, I will tell you, these kids, it takes a lot to amaze me because I know how amazing they are. But when I walked in, 30 minutes is all the time they had. And you take a bunch of 10, 11, 12, and 13-year-olds and get them to make a decision and come up with a plan and come up with a presentation. They have 30 minutes to do it all, and they knocked my socks off. They shocked me. They actually brought tears to my eyes. I walked in, and I was presented by the greeter. Then they toured me around. They explained to me all the different areas. They passed me off one to the next. And that's what school can do. It can motivate and be innovative. That's what our role is here, is to really inspire and engage our students. Because of the program that we created, and when I came here, we were a K-5 school. I put my feet to the pavement and told everyone I could about this amazing academy. Within a couple of months, we had fixed our money problem. We had fixed our enrollment problem. The following year, we had a waiting list. At this point, we have a couple hundred kids on the waiting list. And each year we grew. So the first year we were K-5. We came to the state board and we asked for an extension. We were able to get K-6. The next year we came again and we asked for K-7 and for K-8 the following year. In the meantime, we built the building that you see out back. For 20 years, our school rented this space. We rented this space at the end. It was $2,000 a day in rent. The building wasn't maintained. We had leaks. We had flooding areas. We didn't have a whole lot that we were seeing for $2,000 a day. And it was not great financially because every 6 months the rent went up. One of my moves 5 years ago when I came on was to figure out how to buy the building. That was the positive that was in our lease agreement. We had the right to purchase, not with refusal, but the right to purchase. We figured out what this building would appraise for, and we got our money together. And this past January, we purchased the academy. So we bought this building, we bought the 5 acres we're on, and we bought the new building that was built behind us. That has been an absolute game changer because we're paying 42% in mortgage compared to what we were paying in rent. That has allowed us to put our salaries for our staff, which are the heart of our academy, at state plus 40%, which is better than the competitive schools around us. So not only do we offer an amazing group of students to work with, we offer a compensation package that matches. In addition to that, I never forget the roots that I have from being a teacher. I was a special education teacher when I started, and I'm always going to be a special ed teacher at heart. I'm always looking for the individual needs of our students and meeting them. So I also know that class size matters. Behavior matters. Discipline matters. A response matters. Our class sizes are approximately 20 students per classroom, all the way through K to 8. And we have a 1 minute response rate to any situation that happens. In addition, we have cameras everywhere. So we have cameras that have audio and visual in all of our classrooms and in all of our spaces, which really allows us to support our staff. And it allows us the chance to reflect with our students. So if something happens, and I know for myself, there have been times where something happened, and I don't quite remember it the way it really happened. I remember it from my perspective. But when you sit down with two students and you can go over the situation and look for opportunities to do it different, it changes the students. It changes their minds. It changes their ways. And you'll frequently hear our students say, we don't do that here. We don't fight here. We talk. We don't argue. We don't disrespect. We handle things gracefully and righteously. And our students embody that. I have watched our kids turn around in a way that is just absolutely incredible. 6 years ago, they were running in the hallways. Today, they're saying, good morning, welcome, thank you. So I've kind of gone over all of the information on the slides, and now I'd like to show you the real reason we're here and introduce you to our Academy students. They created a songwriters club led by Ms. Casey Artis. This is an original song written by our students that is absolutely available to you on Spotify. We've gone to a recording studio to record because we should do that kind of thing for our kids. That's education. And I thank you again, and I really love Freedom Home and see us in the day with the kids.
Thank you.
We have no music programs. It's funny. This artist actually volunteered as a student teacher from down the road 3 years ago, and then we hired him.
Sing, y'all.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
All righty. Do we have any questions for Dr. Marinucci from the board? Questions or comments? I'll make one. I mean, you told me you've done a great job here where you were 6 years ago to now. I like the way you've done this. Very impressive.
Thank you.
Impressive. You did it with feet on the street. That's the way you do it. Kind of sounded like a football coach me, motivated me, a little bit past my prime, but I'll put it on and try one more time. And the music presentation was outstanding.
Thank you.
It says on Spotify.
It is.
What's it under?
Dreaming. The name of the song is Dreaming.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have a question. Just again, kind of to echo what our board president said. Thank you for your dedication. I think I've seen it that too often when a school is in the position that this one was when you came in, it's very easy to say, let's turn off the lights and send the young people to a school that's nearby. But the adults who started this group had a vision, and it's clear that it only took someone who had the wherewithal, dedication to stick to it and do, quite frankly, the hard work. And what I heard in your presentation was the sacrifice on the part of all of your staff as well to bring it here. I want to thank you. Because I can see just from what the young people have done from the print shop to the music and getting engaged in the life skills, putting the buttons and things together, that there are young people whose lives will or have been changed, which means our state is a better place because you decided to make the decision that you made and your staff decided to make the decision that they make every day. So I say thank you to you and to all the staff from the academy here at Notre. Just thank you for what you have done and what you're doing for the young people.
Thank you.
Sean, I'd like to make a comment if I may. Michelle, I'm sorry I couldn't be there in person. You know, I absolutely enjoy seeing you every time I'm there. I know that you and your students and your staff are absolutely fantastic, and I want to congratulate you all on a job well done.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
I would like to also echo the sentiments. I'm very inspired here today. I've been serving on the state board for almost 5 years now, and this is probably one of the best presentations I've received, and I get to take a nice little memorabilia with me, so every time I get a cup of coffee, I need. Lean into innovation, lean into entrepreneurship, lean into financial literacy, lean into all the areas that tap into the very essence and the power that lies within these young people. And for you to teach that, which I know is not the norm of schools, but to layer that, you know, with the innovation and layer that with purchasing power and teaching them real life skills, you are to be, you and your team are to be commended for that. So I, and the young people,
absolutely.
And the director of your Entrepreneur Business Academy and
our team.
Your team has just been phenomenal. So I'm leaving here inspired to know that all things are possible in areas of charter schools and schools. So
thank you.
Thank you.
I'll just second what my colleagues have said, and in addition, say that your actions truly match your words, and your passion is evident in everything that you say, and I can't wait to see what else you do.
Thank you.
I had the opportunity to be here on the first day of school this year, and I can attest that what you just heard in action on day one with Dr. Marinucci and her staff greeting the kids, it was very, very impressive. Not only the fact that you knew nearly every one of their names, but the way in which you greeted them, and equally impressive, if not more impressive, the way they responded to you and their excitement they saw you. So congrats.
And thank you for taking the time to be here on the first day too.
Dr. Marinucci, one thing to say, keep on keeping on.
So
we
it's
can
great.
Do that. Thank you very much.
We can't say enough. We appreciate everything you've done here.
Thank you.
For kids. And we thank you. If there's no more questions or comments, please give John our best.
And I do hope to see all of you in person during this day soon.
You bet. We will try. Thank you. Dr. Gant, you get to follow that, don't you? Student Achievement Data and Advancing Literacy. This is for information. Dr. Monica Gant, Associate Secretary of Academics for Wilson. You want, I don't know how you want to look here. You want to try that table back there, or you want to try this table?
I'm great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And good evening, everyone. My name is Monica Gant, the Associate Secretary of the Academic Support Team, Medical Assessment Accountability, Curriculum Instruction, Professional Development, Resources, and so I do a few things in our area. You're right, it's a tough thing to follow, but this is the reason that we do the work that we're doing. And so I'm really excited to be here this evening to be able to share with you some information. I know that you've received our 2024 assessment data last month. So this evening, I'm going to speak with you specifically about early literacy and area prioritized by our governor, Manuel Sint. And I'm just going to assume it's slide our whole computer, Sam, and Lewis. So the agenda slide. In the first half of the presentation, I'll review the early literacy assessment results and share data highlights. I will then spend the second half of the presentation sharing advanced literacy strategies to support early literacy improvement across the state. I will link to you at the end of the presentation for additional discussion. So let's jump right into the grades 3-8 ELA state assessment data from 2019 representing pre-pandemic data and 2022-24 representing post-pandemic. You can stay right there. You may remember that we did not have the assessment data for the 2020 school year, and low participation due to remote and hybrid learning produced data that did not provide a complete picture of performance in 2021, which is what we're As a result, we identified 2022, which is a great bar, as our post-pandemic baseline year, so most comparisons throughout the presentation will begin with the 22-23 school year, with occasional references to 2019 for pre-pandemic context. As you can see in this trend data, pre- and post-pandemic, This year's participation is pretty close to pre-pandemic percentages in most grades, and all are above 99%. Next slide, please. And ELA state proficiency, we are not currently seeing much of a change in the year-to-year state level data. However, we see movement as we analyze the data at the district, charter, and school levels. We are also seeing movement in cohorts. You will see some of this movement when we get to our highlight slides, which are identified with STAR. We're often asked, how does Delaware's state ELA proficiency compare to other states? It is difficult to compare states because of differing state assessments and state standards. There is similarity across states and state scores. While there was hope that everyone would return to and exceed pre-pandemic performance once they return to in-person learning, long-lasting effects such as teacher turnover, leadership changes, and shifts back to in-person instruction has had impact. It's also important to remember that third graders who were assessed in the 23-24 school year began their formal schooling during the 2021 school year. The students are typically taught to read. Next slide, please. You also see state performance within our Hispanic and African American, white, Asian, and multiracial student groups. This proficiency has not yet returned to pre-pandemic levels represented by the community. Next slide. The same is true with the proficiency of our ELL or multilingual learners, students experiencing poverty, and students with disabilities. So here's one of those highlights that I'd like to really point out. As we look closer at school level data, I'd like to highlight schools across the state that we have made, that have made consistent progress in ELA since 2022. These lists are not exhaustive. Schools were identified for ELA improvement if they had a school population greater than 200, 2024 proficiency performance greater than the 40% state average for the entire school population, and show consistent year-over-year improvement, 22 to 24. Grade levels that show consistent improvement within each school are highlighted, as you see with Academy of Dover's. Next slide. These additional schools with school populations of greater than 200 students are also highlighted for the consistent ELA improvement with 2024 proficiency performance greater than 40% state average for the entire school population and showing consistent year-over-year improvement from 22 to 24. Now, on the next slide, I'd like to highlight schools across the state that have shown consistent improvement in early literacy since the pandemic and are now surpassing the pre-pandemic proficiency levels at grade 3. Again, this is significant because remember, these were students that began their formal schooling online. Next slide, please. For students with disabilities, 4 school districts have exceeded their pre-pandemic proficiency levels among students with disabilities on grade 3 state assessment. And on the next slide, the standout, which is Seaford School District, illustrating increases in performance for students with disabilities who are in grade 3. Each year from 22 to 24 at grade 3, there has been improvement in performance for students with disabilities in Seaford School District. When shown next to their peers represented by the purple bar, the data for students with disabilities represented by the green bar illustrates that given the opportunity and access to standards aligned grade level instruction, these students are able to master grade level content at similar rates of students without disabilities. The state average in grade 3 for ELA proficiency is approximately 40%, but you can see that these students, both with and without disabilities, in Seaford at grade 3 have exceeded that metric. So, I want to highlight some highlights provide us with the opportunity to learn more about what's having impact in our schools. Our strategies to advance literacy in Delaware are informed by these impactful practices. So the next slide, as you're aware, Delaware's vision is that every student graduates ready for success in college, career, and life. In order to accomplish this, we must make it our mission to build students' ability to read at grade level by the end of third grade. If our students do not become strong readers, writers, thinkers, and speakers, research shows that impact is lifelong brings academic possibilities and potentials. Next slide. To ensure every student is reading on grade level by third grade, we have made 5 commitments to early literacy. The first 3 commitments impact daily instruction. That's providing guidance and support to districts and partners on creating effective early literacy systems, increased access to professional development opportunities to support educators in improving, providing effective early literacy instruction, and then developing tools to support indicators of eliminating achievement gaps and increasing student learning, as we saw in the December. The final 2 commitments, seeing a holistic picture of moving forward and increasing student outcomes, to increase stakeholder collaboration and to achieve Delaware's vision for early literacy, and then engage families supporting literacy. On our next slide, advancing literacy slide, this year we will convene statewide sessions for participation by teams from every district in charter to receive professional learning based on the early literacy commitments that I shared earlier. This professional learning will include guidance and support to districts and charters in creating effective early literacy systems, increased access to professional development opportunities to support educators in providing effective early literacy instruction, and then developing tools to support educators in eliminating achievement gaps and increasing student learning. And then the 3 sessions, we will focus on 3 things: launching our work and building investment in literacy vision, supporting high quality instructional materials implementation, focused on evidence-based systems and structures that yield results, and then deepening implementation through progress monitoring of goals and student progress. All LEAs will be asked to administer the 3rd grade interim assessment block 2 times throughout the school year from the Smarter Balance Assessment Suite as a common tool to integrate data into the instructional vision and monitor student progress through effective data cycles. So the next slide talks about our investment as a state. In addition to the advancing literacy professional learning systems professions for system leaders, a foundational area of focus within the developer's pre-K through 3 literacy plan is to support educators in accessing various modes of competency-based professional learning, including face-to-face, online, and one-on-one opportunities. Here you will see the professional learning opportunities that the Department of Education has secured or developed to support educators in building their knowledge of early literacy. The first 2 trainings are developed by researchers and are grounded in the science of reading. Many of you have heard of letters training before. Letters stands for language essential for teachers and reading and spelling. And then E Pathways, that is an interactive digital teacher professional development platform designed to deliver research and evidence-based courses in literacy. The Delaware Department of Education also created the Early Literacy Micro-Credentials to provide educators with asynchronous ways to build their knowledge of the science of reading. Those micro-credentials include training on meeting the instructional needs of every learner, universal design for learning, foundational skills, decoding and word recognition, vocabulary, comprehension, and writing. Of course, this investment also includes Early Literacy Leadership Academy, or ELLA, District and School Literacy Leaders, a PLC toolkit, which was developed in collaboration with the American Institute of Research during the 2022-23 school year and rolled out in 2023-24. It was developed for literacy coaches and specialists to support elementary teachers to implement during the school day, during the context of their professional learning communities, and it's free of charge. It was created as an option for teachers in meeting the requirements of Senate Bill 4, and it is based on supporting all components of reading. We also partnered with the University of Delaware School Success Center to offer opportunities that align to the science of reading and directly correspond to learning needed for the state's micro-credentials. And then finally, connecting districts to professional learning vendors is proving to be one of the most high-impact ways to ensure teachers receive the professional learning they want and need. The Delaware Professional Learning Guide provides districts and with a list of vetted providers who are experts in instruction grounded in the science of reading and high-quality instructional materials. On the next slide, further support school systems this school year, the Delaware Department of Education will recruit, train, and deploy a cohort of early literacy coaches. Literacy coaches will provide strategic support to school systems to transform practice to give students a cohesive and coherent early literacy instructional experience by creating statewide programs around early literacy, will capacitate leaders to create equitable and effective early literacy systems, and will capacitate teachers to provide equitable and effective early literacy instruction to all students. We know that we will not have enough coaches to fully support the 31 districts and charters that educate K-3 students. So we are anticipating we will need to review data to determine placement based on factors such as school performance, school improvement identification, and lack of access to high-quality instructional materials aligned with science. And then finally, our literacy, early literacy website located on DigitalDB is a comprehensive one-stop shop of all early literacy resources available to our educators. The resources that support districts and charters on implementing early literacy are aligned with the science of reading and the state literacy plan directly connected to Senate Bill 4 and HB 304, which is literacy legislation. Context for assessment and accountability is Dr. April McCray, who happens to be here this evening. She is our Director of Assessment and Accountability, and Kathy Kelly, Director of Curriculum Instruction and Professional Development. So thank you so much for allowing me to share our work in early literacy. I appreciate the opportunity to come before you this evening. I'm going to answer any questions if you have.
Thank you. Any questions for Dr. King?
I have a question. Thank you for answering my questions prior to today. But I'm still, is this system, it's already in place? And these early literacy coaches are already in the district?
So we are just hiring them now. We're in the process of just finished interviews in early August, September. And so we are working with Delaware State University, who is our partner in this work. They're actually the ones that are doing the hiring for us. And then we will deploy them once they are finished. So we've done the interviewing, we're going to close the interviews for this year, and then we open them spring for the next.
And they are the ones that are carrying out what's in the system that you described earlier? Or
So actually, we're building the capacity of the systems themselves to be able to do this work because we don't want to be dependent on us.
Yeah.
Right? And so really the early literacy coaches build the capacity of the districts, but there are literacy leaders in all of our districts and charters. And so we're providing professional learning, that whole list that I shared for you, we're providing all professional learning to all those literacy leaders so they can do that work themselves. The literacy coaches are part of that step up and additional support, specifically for those that are really, really struggling. And those that are not yet adopted, I thought on instructional materials, because that has to be adopted by the 2027-28 school year for the legislation.
I have one last question.
Absolutely.
I've been anywhere.
Sure.
The in this system, are there you're collecting data points, I'm assuming?
We will be collecting data points.
So you've already identified what that is. What data points you'll be collecting.
So some of it will be student data points, some of it will be educator, you know, observations of educators and how they're able to implement. Some will be feedback from those educators as to whether they really grasp the science of reading, whether they know how to use those instructional materials. And so there's a lot of different ways that we'll be collecting that data to determine. One of the things that we did with Firelines was really took a look at, so what's happening in these places, what we see, some of the success that we're seeing, and some of it actually happened in alluded to is having a stable staff, having not having leadership turnover. I mean, all those pieces are really, really critical to have in place in addition to the professional learning. So we will be collecting those data points.
Yes. So data point.
where they were pre-pandemic.
I have to be honest, I don't remember. But the information from those were grade by grade versus class, which is that's why grade by grade, they, the cohort was changing their, that was why the point I needed.
Maybe that happened. Sometimes we see this kind of video of that, you know, one down, I'm not sure. So, and so we know that that can be because of that particular group of students. But if we see improvement year on year, it's telling us something's happening at that grade level, at that school, and that's what we really want to capture.
Thank you.
in the story. A component that high dosage to it in order to really kind of help some people along. Does the high dosage tutoring fall under stakeholder collaboration? And is that a factor of cost or
in order to get tutoring to enhance proficiency?
And so the tutoring piece, you're absolutely right, it does fall under the stakeholder engagement piece. The key for tutors and having a tutoring program is making sure it's aligned for instruction. So what we don't want is for a student who is struggling to have their tier one core instruction during the day and then have a tutor after hours that's taking them away from that, maybe stealing and drilling or doing some things that are just actually not supporting them and reaching mastery. And so it's really critical that a tutoring piece is connected to the school piece. That
Yeah, I have a personal experience with that.
Yes.
High dosage tutoring.
Yes.
When we attended, we had,
yes.
We had really good success, and then resources dried up. We couldn't continue to layer that this particular fall. And so I'm still concerned because we still have the model of upgrading the high instructional material, but the one-on-one tutoring. Was the high dosage tutoring is really what's lacking, I think, is the secret sauce in success. Because we really got a lot of sustained growth and achievement. And Dr. Holliday came out and seen the model. They had like 8 locations in Wilmington.
Yes.
But the dollars dry up. And so I'm just making that as part of my challenge and frustration. I think your website is excellent.
And
I think very important there to kind of strengthen families. But it was a resource issue. And I think the collaboration, school districts and charters can help community-based organizations that provide this service, not only in the school, but in the communities, churches, and in the community centers. I think all of that is a part of the, well, this holistic approach, as you indicate on your website.
That's
important. And efficiency in the language.
I completely agree. Really, we're able to leverage community-based organizations and tutoring, especially during the pandemic. And there's a lot of lessons learned from that. And so I agree with you that any time we can have supports in place to really help with happening classrooms, that's great. What we want to make sure of is we want to make sure that we have everything we need for the teachers that are trained to teach using the signs of reading, that we have all the pieces in place for them. Special mind piece for them is really, really critical. Coaching, in many cases, is really, really critical. So those pieces are really, really important. And then the tutoring piece can supplement that. So having that core instruction piece first is critical.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Alrighty, is there, if there's nothing else, I'm going to thank you, Dr. McCann. I'm looking for Deb, I don't know.
As facilitated. Hello?
I'm sorry, Ms. Stevens, would you start over again, please? Go ahead.
Sure, not a problem. One question I have, I know in the past that the department has hosted meetings of all of the districts for them to come and share some of the best practices that they've been using to get increased achievement. And they shared among the colleagues from all the different districts. Are you envisioning something similar to that, especially as we introduce the new science of reading?
And so I think there's an opportunity for some of that during the advancing literacy sessions when we're bringing together literacy leaders across the state as well as the assessment leaders in that space. I do think that there's that opportunity for them to learn from each other to kind of share strategies and best practices. We just want to make sure that we have a level, that we have a foundational understanding across the state. We build that coherence across the state around what exactly is early literacy through the science of reading. What does that mean? And then how do we build systems that support it? And so while that's the primary purpose of the advanced literacy sessions, I do believe that there's an opportunity for them to share best practices with each other. Anytime educators get together, that's exactly what happens.
Thank you.
All right, if there's no further questions, thank you, Dr. Gann. A great presentation. We appreciate your time. Great questions from the board member. You had the answers. And just let's keep us moving forward because the early literacy is important in our success in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good night. Next on the agenda is charter schools updates. It is for information. The charter school office has provided a written report prior to this meeting. Leroy Travers, director of the charter school office and associate secretary of operations support, Kim Klein, are present this evening to provide any further updates. Mr. Travers, calm down.
Good evening, everyone. Just to remind everyone that we do have the charter school eligibility committee process over the next 7 months, 4 or 5, over the charter school. I know that several members of the board will be participating in those committees, and we have some training set up for later this month. So I would encourage everyone, if you're going to be on the committee or not, to attend one of those trainings. It's a really good overview of the processes that our charter schools go through and the reasoning behind those processes. So Smith and I have been working on today, so we should have those soon, or if you don't mind.
I agree. I took the charter training last year. It is worthy. You do need that information to make decisions and to hear what charter schools are presenting at that time. But we do have 5 people signed up for spreading the wealth. Everybody's going to learn how to do this process.
Okay.
We're now revolving, changing board, aren't we, Reverend Powell? So we look forward to your training and what you have to do.
So outside of that, ready for any questions?
Questions for Mr. Travers?
I know you'll be surprised that I have a question.
Yeah.
So thank you for the information that you shared with me. I understand why Great Oaks has these conditions that they have to meet, but I am still wondering what happens to these documents. Does it come to you? Does it come to the CSAC? Where? What happens to
them? You know, it really depends. Great Oaks has a number of conditions over 20 that were placed on their charter as a condition of their renewal. And each individual condition was put into place for a specific reason and a specific outcome we expect for each of those conditions. So it really depends on what the condition is. For instance, they have 2 conditions around enrollment. One is that they be at 90% of their authorized enrollment by April 1st, and the other that they be at full enrollment by September 30th. So the April 1st date is put into place to provide more, to ensure that they were all the right path to be fully enrolled. September 30th, the conditions there to ensure that they're fully enrolled on September 30th and that they remain financially viable. So if there's documents, documentations, those typically come to me, but depending on the document, I farm those out to the expert in those areas. So if the curriculum documents, they'll go to if they're financial documents, they'll go to the financial.
Thank you.
Sure.
I don't have a question, but just a comment to make sure the board is aware that I didn't know this until I became secretary, and that is that you and Kim Klein, your night, visit every charter school every year I get invited to those visits. I attend as many as I can. But there is nothing quite like seeing what's happening at a school and meeting with the school leadership and hearing about newly adopted curriculum. Last week, we visited a charter school that had, you know, not only had significant facility changes, improvements, but also had adopted high quality instructional materials and a new curriculum. And to hear what they have gone through and what it takes to actually make these changes and implement the newly adopted curriculum is really quite helpful and valuable. I know it takes a lot of your time, but I encourage you to keep doing that. I think the relationships that you two have with the charter schools, the charter leaders, is really, really important. I don't know that the department has ever had a relationship that is as healthy as it is right now between DOE, the department, and its charter schools. That's important. So I just encourage you to keep doing that.
Thank you. We go on a road tour every fall and spring. And to that note, I'm encouraging people to contact me. I can daily liaison between you and school leaders and ascribe more of them to get that experience that we get.
That would be great. Great. I know many of us are anxious to get in more schools, share our state and presence, just let them know we are there for them.
Thank you. It means a lot to our schools. And to see us, but to see you guys.
Great. If there are no further questions, we're off the hook, sir. Hope Deb has anything tonight. Well, thanks for your time. Next on the agenda is regulations. It's professional standards rule regulations for discussion or action. Dr. Bradshaw, Executive Director of the Professional Standards Board, is here to present the 5 regulations for information. Dr. Bradshaw, welcome.
Thank you. I'd like to present the first 4, 59.1, 92.94, kind of a unit. And this go-around, there are similar changes. And so for most of them, they have 5 common changes. They have changes that are making all our regulations, so the definition of regionally accredited, such as the need to disclose a criminal background on application, et cetera. And then the 4 major ones are deleting outdated annotated language and gains from your Facebook team. Deleting old versions of the test that were sunset in 2019 or 2020. We did these at the end of 2020, but there were other story of why we adopted practice tests for these other revisions in 2020. And we wanted to make sure that people who had been taking these tests were allowed to use the tests that they had been taken. There are 300 data, aren't getting the level of. And then we're changing their experience requirement from 5 years to 4 years. It had been 3 years up until 2013, but then they changed the initial license period from 3 years to 4 years. And the board raised it to 5 years of experience, and now we're bringing it back to match the period of insurance. Superintendent is because that went from 7 to 6 years. So it's 4 years as a teacher or another educator, and then 2 years as a building or district leader. And so those are the changes that are common before. Are there any questions about these particular changes?
Anybody have a question for Dr. Bradshaw?
No, I asked all my questions, and I have just a comment. I want to say thank you for allowing me to ask a clarifying question.
No. I mean, I never, as a new board member, a lot of these things are very unfamiliar, especially all of the very detailed regular language. I did want to say that special education director had some further changes. There are changes in 1.1 that detail who the certificate is for, because there was some confusion about that. There is an additional change that clarifies that school psychologists, behavior analysts, and then speech language pathologists, audiologists, physical therapists, and occupational therapists, they are allowed to be special education directors. The Department of Education does not license speech language pathologist, audiologist, physical therapist, and occupational therapist. They are licensed via the Division of Professional Regulations, those are medical professionals. However, because they do provide special services to students in school, we do allow them to become special education directors. And so one of the changes there was just making that very clear and making it clear that the credits that they use for their professional licensure do count for special education. They do actually take a lot of courses that overlap with special educators. So those are the changes in those four. Are there any questions 1591?
No. To regulation 1596, further review, this for information?
Yeah, this is for information as well. 1596 has not been published yet, will be published on October 1. It has been submitted for publication. Actually, we have a petition in October, which is why I'm presenting it tonight for you all, so that I can do this, I can get it up. Many of you who were on board last year know that it was first promulgated in 2023. However, since it was promulgated, there were disagreements between the charter schools and what the board had passed. And so DOE and the DOE and the charter school network, along with the professional standards board, worked on a compromise. And there is a bill that is included in the compromise plan. This is the revisions to the regulation are also part of that compromise plan. And so the PSA has approved the new regulation for Elvish. There are some important differences in the new regulation from the old regulation. The most important of which is that it includes a BRTC program that leads to certification as 1596 charter. So originally the CEO, this is not a permanent regulation, but will become a permanent regulation. And the BRTC program has not been approved yet, and there is an application process happening right now. It's still going back and forth between the department that approves that they get the programs, et cetera. And that will happen as soon as they can't really finalize that until we put the regulation in place, because they have to have something for the program to lead to, if that makes sense. Are there questions about this regulation?
Repeat that again for me. It is approved, but not approved.
Well, it is in the process of being approved. I know that they have created the course of reports. And they are working on an application. And so, because there is an entire, it's a very long, but it's a very detailed process to get an approved. That is done through the Educator Excellence Work Group. And so there's an application process, and that is happening now, but it hasn't been finalized.
Okay. I got you now. As clear as what a minute ago.
Okay.
Are there any questions for Dr. Bradshaw? All right. Well, we thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, have a good evening. Public comment on regulations. Time has been set aside at this point in the agenda for public comment on regulations. Ms. Smith, do we have anyone sign up for public comment on regulations?
We do not.
Thank you. State board business. First is committee and meeting reports. There was an opportunity for board members to provide information and written reports made available on e-board on any events or committee meetings attended since the last meeting. Is there anything anyone would like to share further?
I did not submit a report this month. However, I did have the opportunity on the first day of school with a group of men in my fraternity to go to Kuumba Academy on the first day of school. About 10 of us got to stand outside and welcome all of those smiling young faces and their parents, and to see some of them as they ran the gauntlet of men dressed in suits and ties, giving high fives, to smile on what was the first day of school. A lot of kids don't smile on the first day of school. It was a highlight that week for all of us who got to serve.
That's great. I'd like to hear that. I got something real quick. It's just some general housekeeping. Next month, October 15th, we did have a workshop. That'll be 14th, excuse me. It'll be in Dover. The Teacher of the Year is the next evening. And then we have a state board meeting on the Thursday. So it'll be a busy week for everybody. But we will be putting things together for the workshop. I believe Dag Corbin is going to work on FOIA, Freedom of Information Act, and the policy procedures that we need to update a few of them. That'll be Kay at first.
Amen.
You wear your flip flops and shorts, no, we won't go that far. But anyway, just want to remind everybody of that.
Amen.
Monday, the 14th of October.
All right, that's all I have. Anything else from anybody?
I've got something to share. I was fortunate enough with Ms. Smith to be able to attend the ribbon cutting of the new Maurice Richard Senior School. And it is just an absolutely fantastic gift to the community. The school is beautiful and well reflects the intent and love that Maurice Pritchett had for the students and the staff and the community at large. It's just a wonderful tribute to him and a wonderful gift to the community. I also had the opportunity last week to attend a two-day workshop with NASB on results-based accountability. I got a lot of good information, some of which I'd like to be able to share with the board at our working session on the 14th of October. So something you can all look forward to.
Thank you. Anything else? All righty. Well, we will move to the executive director report, Ms. Smith.
So you have my report, and I also enjoyed the ribbon cutting ceremony with Vice President Stevens. And I did want to highlight, along with Sage, our upcoming virtual literacy event that's happening on Monday, September 30th. And we're coordinating with the Delaware Literacy Alliance. And we've already had almost three dozen interested parties sign up to listen in on the webinar. And if Sage had anything else that he wanted to share about that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to being a panelist. I think it's going to be a great experience. I'm looking forward to all of you, whoever's available to make it. It'll be just a great way to see how to get excited for our students on the early literacy.
Thank you.
Sage, how is this being spread throughout the state? Is it, have you sent it to the districts? To what parties have you done this with?
I can take that. It did go out on the weekly principal's memo from the department, and I know Allison May had a couple extra networks that she shared it with. We've put it on our social media, and I know the department has also shared it on their social media. And we have the Delaware Literacy Alliance that sent out a mass email to all of their contacts. And so word is spread.
I would like to see more of the merriers. Good luck with that. And if anybody on the board has a chance, please feel free to join.
Thank you.
Okay, if there is no more questions, not any more questions from Ms. Smith. We will move to the NASB meeting delegate. This is for action. As a National Association of State Boards of Education member state, we may select a representative to participate in the delegate assembly at the NASB annual conference in Louisville, Kentucky on October 25th, 2024. Vice President Deb Stevens has agreed to serve as the State Board's National Meeting Delegate. Are there any questions about the role of the NASB delegate or about the information that was shared? If there is not, is there a motion to approve Vice President Deb Stevens to serve as the NASB Meeting Delegate?
Griffin, I move that Vice President Deb Stevens serve as the delegate for the Delaware State Board of Education.
Griffin has made a motion. I need a second.
Mr. Kenton, second.
Kenton has second. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
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 Motion carries. Next is the Secretary's report. Secretary Holliday, your office.
You have my written report. I'm going to highlight two things. One's already mentioned, but for those who have not experienced the Teacher of the Year banquet and announcement of the State Teacher of the Year, is an exciting evening and if you're able to attend, I would encourage it. The other is make sure there's clarity here around two different groups that has been addressing compensation in Delaware, and one is about to address funding in Delaware. And I want to make, I think it's really important that the State Board of Education clearly knows the difference between the two. So both of these committees are now required, driven by law, that, you know, bills that were passed. One now almost 3 years ago, most recent, this last session. So you've heard the acronym PECC, P-E-C-C, the Public Education Compensation Committee. And that charged a large group of stakeholders that I had the honor of chairing, actually, in this position, working with legislators and educators, DSEA, and so on. We had to make a recommendation to the governor last November around compensation for all employee groups in education. You probably remember that. So we're talking about bus drivers, talking about paraprofessionals, teachers, administrators, school nutrition. We accomplished that. That bill also requires that committee to look at working conditions and career ladders. We've not delivered that to the governor yet. We have a subgroup. It's chaired by a DSEA member, David Cohan, involved in leadership in DSEA, and Margie Lopez-Waite, who is a charter school leader. The two of them are chairing that subcommittee and are making recommendations to the larger committee. So that has everything to do with compensation for all educators. This new commission is called the Public Education Funding Commission, and it is requiring a large group of stakeholders, I'm one of them, to look at the way in which we fund public education in the state of Delaware. That will be charged with making recommendations. And forgive me, I don't have the exact things in front of me. It's as for tonight's, you know, update. Not what's important is that you understand as a state board that this commission, which hasn't met yet, it meets next week. There's actually going to be a full day of training for the members on this committee, so the members understand how public school funding works in Delaware. Okay, this it's really hard to make informed decisions if you're not really astute to how schools are funded, districts are funded. So next week, there will be 1.5 days of training and the first meeting. I will keep this board up to speed on what is being discussed and thought through as that commission moves forward. During the primary election season, and I suspect moving into the election season here between now and beginning November, you're going to hear a lot of talk about about school funding. And it just makes sense that you are up to speed on everything that's really happening. It's easy to talk about school funding, much harder to actually, you know, there's a reason why we have what people call an old and outdated, antiquated funding system. There's a reason for that, right? And the reason, the simple straightforward reason is it's really hard to make changes to a system that has been so entrenched and embedded in the state. It is, I think we all agree, high time for a significant change in the way in which we fund our schools. Hopefully, this commission can really work collaboratively. There are going to be some hard decisions that this group will have to make, and ultimately in the General Assembly and the new administration, tough, tough decisions. But this board not only needs to be aware, but you may be in some decisions to weigh in at some point, possibly. So that's my report for tonight. I just thought it was important to address that. Thank you.
Thank you.
So how does the Equalization Committee interact with this commission? Is there a representative from that committee on this commission?
Kim Klein from our department, who I would suggest, Kim, who was here earlier, oversees operations. I think that the department, she is as nuanced and knowledgeable as anyone that I'm familiar with in regard to both funding in Delaware and equalization. I don't know if there are any other members from the Equalization Committee that will be on this commission, but Dr. Latavia, I think it's really important to note that whatever this commission does, it absolutely has to address equalization.
Agreed.
Period. Like, it's just that's going to be, and it'll be interesting to see if the way in which we've approached, I mean, equalization is basically how do we take money from wealthier districts and get it to those districts in the state that need it most, right? That is not working right now. And so I think this commission has the opportunity to do something significant around equalization as well.
What is the sunset for both of them? When are they supposed to have their work done and submitted?
So for PAC, that work was supposed to be done by November of last year.
Okay.
We have extended it, the work, through this subcommittee because the PEC group recognized that it was just too much to ask for all of those recommendations in such a short period of time. So we prioritized as a committee. We decided we were going to give recommendations to the governor for all the employee groups on compensation and then take our time and really think through these other, you know, teacher leader positions, how much compensation would that include? Those kind of discussions take a lot of time. So I don't want to commit, especially with the idea that we're going to have a new administration coming in. That could shift a little bit. I think there will be, no matter who wins the general election and the gubernatorial race, no matter who it is, I can't help but think there will be a healthy appetite to continue that. I also think there, so what I don't know to answer the question fully is the timeline for the commission. Lisa, I apologize for putting you on the spot. You've been working on this also. Is it 2027?
Funding commission was done by a resolution. So it actually will end this November. They'll start up in November and then it's reintroduced in January. So whatever date they have on now, which I honestly was only about a year because they were funded for about a year, will change when they reintroduce it in January. So they'll put us, I suspect they'll put a new mandate to keep going because of how I think the conversation will go with the secretary's change.
But what I was referencing, thank you for that, that's helpful. What about the commission that has been established to look at funding. It's pretty far out, if I recall. What I can't recall is the exact time the recommendations are to be made.
Right, they don't bring it in January. Because the way it was just done, I heard. So, Senator Sturgeon, who did it, and I have a floor that we would start now. She knows she'll have the bill, the resolution died on the
session.
Okay, that's all.
They'll have to wait till the beginning.
Thank you.
Thank you. Let me ask you a question. I think it would be helpful for me, and I think some of the other new board members, to have a presentation or enlightenment on school funding formula for the state of Delaware. I know that there's a parallel with the commission is unpacking and understanding, but for the board here to kind of understand the nuances at a high level, even at the Lord, I know it's an old antiquated, and everyone agrees on that. We know how to challenge or changing it, but we need to understand the impact of the hot buttons or whatever. So is that something we could probably arrange a presentation at one of our meetings and have the department to explain that?
Here's a thought. So next week, is it Wednesday? Yeah, next Wednesday, that training is you can't participate, but you could. It's live stream. Are we going to tape it? Do you know? They said, if we could tape it, we could literally, because there's going to be a full presentation like you're describing on how everything sort of works. So, you know, I don't know if the board would be interested in having the luxury of being able to have access to not only the live stream, but then a recording. Maybe offer that plus a possible workshop with someone like a Ken or a Jen who could, for interested board members who want to do it in person, you know, an hour or two of this is how it all works. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, but school board members still required to take finance. Training, and there's a lot you learn in that will help you understand how school is financed. It's not soup to nuts, but it's enough that in and of itself will probably get it done. So Kathy could talk and figure out, you know, work with the president and vice president and figure out what is most convenient.
I've already put information on the weekly roundup that goes out to you on Friday, so for tomorrow about that training on the 25th.
I'll say this, Reverend Powell, I was on the local school board for 23 years. It took me 23 years to gather a ton of, and I'm sure Mayor will tell you the same thing. It's difficult to understand.
It's a lot of stuff.
You have to think back with sideways, but it is a good option to try to understand state how we do spend it. It is difficult. Dr. Secretary, thank you for the basket.
Of course, sir.
Fourth in the nation. I like that. It's come a long way. I'm sure that was a chore battle.
Juliet Markowski, who presented at the P20 Council meeting last week, kudos to her and our team, the department, to really work with the schools to get our students on FAFSA, students and families. That is something we can be proud of.
Absolutely. It's critical to the education for many students in the state of Delaware.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Anything else for Secretary Holliday? All right. Next on the agenda. Time has been set aside at this point in the agenda for general public comment. Ms. Smith, is there anyone signed up to provide public comment?
There is no one signed up on the clipboard. We did have someone interested ahead of time. But I do not see that person online. And nothing's been added to the chat. So my answer is no.
Okay, thank you. Next is adjournment. I want to first thank the Academy of Dover Charter School and Dr. Michelle Marinucci for an outstanding presentation, the music, the presentation. What a leader
what a jewel they have to have her in here and make sure she has a great staff and great students following her. Really appreciative to them. Next, is there a motion to adjourn tonight's meeting?
So moved.
Hal made a motion. I need a second.
Kent, second.
Kent has a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Motion passes. 6:39 p.m. and this meeting is adjourned. Thank you, folks. Safe travels.